Hi, this is Mr. Brown, and welcome to See What Show, the movie, TV, and DVD review podcast for regular people.
And this is Steve.
We are having an all-guy show today.
Yes, we're all guy.
All guy. No boys here. Two men, all guy.
Okay, anyway.
Today we are reviewing The Bourne Ultimatum,
Once Upon a Time in the West,
and Vacancy. And let's kick off by looking at what's showing this week.
What's showing this week?
I haven't wrestled newspaper in a while.
I know. Yay. And what's showing this week?
Hostel 2, Eli Roth's sequel to Hostel 1.
Duh. Oh no, it's Hostel 2, the sequel to Hostel 5. It's a torture porn movie.
Not torture porn lah. It's slasher movie. Slasher gore movie.
Like those Saw 3, Saw 2, that kind.
Yeah, you saw that movie?
No, I didn't. I have it and I refuse to play it. I have the DVD. I'm like, should I play it? Should I not
so
play
you,
it?
So you haven't seen Saw?
It's very gruesome, right?
I've seen Saw.
Have you seen Saw?
I've seen Saw.
Is it gruesome?
It's quite amusing to a certain point because it's very predictable.
Gruesome is fun.
There's a lot of irony in, you know, that the guy's going to walk up to that wall and get smashed by a knife through the head.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Hostel 2 is something like that. Like, it's the kind of violent, a lot of knives and
guns
stuff,
and chainsaws and bullets.
As we saw in the trailer.
Yeah.
And the next show is Poltergeist.
It's a French movie about a husband and wife who move into a haunted house haunted by gay ghosts.
Gay poltergeist.
Poltergeist. The trailer looked impressive, and it was humorous without being too stereotypical, I think.
It's fun. And also showing in the cinemas, 881.
Papa Yao.
By Royston Tan.
It's a local movie about Gertai singers and their papayas. It's about Gertai singers called the Papaya Sisters.
And their rivals, the Durian Sisters.
Is it?
Yeah,
I don't know. Oh my goodness.
Their rivals called Durian. Liu Dian Jiemei.
It's a local movie. Yep.
Yeah, and it looks good. So must try.
Try the papaya or try the durian?
Watch the show lah, durian.
Yeah.
Let's start review time today.
See what show, review time.
Bourne Ultimatum.
Part 3 in the Bourne trilogy.
That's right. Jason Bourne is back in this third installment of a series based on Robert Ludlum's... Is it Ludlum or Ludlum?
That guy lah.
Yeah,
his books lah.
Robert Ludlum's books lah. And Matt Damon, you know where it's from, right?
Why do you have to do that voice? Why?
I can't get over it. It's like whenever I watch International Police. No, what's that?
The puppet show. Oh, Team America. International Police.
And then they go, Matt Damon. That's where I got it from.
Oh, now I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Matt Damon plays Jason Bourne, a super agent who has amnesia and is trying to find out who he really is.
But doesn't he find out who he is in this one?
Aha. So he's on the run from the CIA since the first Bourne movie. Bourne, not tiring. Bond. Who is hunting him down. Hunting him down as a rogue agent. And Bourne is part of a project, was part of a project called the called Treadstone, where they train hardcore assassin agent types to do the dirty work of the CIA.
Kind of like black ops and stuff.
Very black. And he comes out of hiding because he wants to talk to Simon Ross, who is this British journalist for the Guardian newspaper, who has been writing about him in his columns.
Not the Enquirer.
No. Not this one. This is the Guardian, respectable one. And he's been writing a lot of Jason Bourne articles. And suddenly he has contact with someone from the inside who knows about Treadstone.
Who was I?
They gave you so many identities. Cheever, Lee, Kane, Bourne. You were one of the first ones in the program.
So Jason sees this as the opportunity to find out what his background is, his own identity is. So he's trying to locate
not bad,
the journalist.
It's like you got a scribe writing down all the stuff you do.
Yeah, and then he's making headway, meeting the right people. So meanwhile, the CIA is throwing everything at him, because key figures in the agency do not want him to find out and expose their deepest, darkest secrets.
Skeletons in the skeletons closet.
Many, many skeletons in their department. And you don't really need to watch the first two movies to appreciate this. This is the question everybody asks. It's like, I haven't watched the first two. Can I watch this?
Because I haven't watched the first two.
It's okay.
Really?
You lose nothing, but you can still follow. My brother, I watched with my wife and my youngest brother, and he hasn't watched, and his girlfriend, and he hasn't watched the first two. And he totally got it within the first like 20 minutes. I think they're very clever.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, they were very clever in making sure that you didn't have to kind of follow. But it was cool if you watched the first two as well. Mm-hmm. And the third sequel really, really doesn't disappoint. I have to say it's probably the best of all the sequels that have come out this year so far. If all these, you know, movies come out.
A lot of action.
Shrek. It's not just the action. You see, the thing about the show is, well, the action starts very early.
Mm-hmm.
And the tension, it never lets up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an action movie junkie. But the Bond series, right? One thing about the Jason Bond series is that they take it further in a sense that it is smarter and slicker than the regular American action flicks. So people kind of see him as the thinking man's action hero because mm-hmm. he's not a pussy spy like James Bond with all his, you know, women.
Gadgets.
Yeah. The new Bond is a little less pussy, but he's not also the kind of wisecracking everyman that John McClane is.
John McClane.
Yeah, but he's different. You see, he's the stoic kick-ass killer who has the muscles and the brains, which is fun to watch. And
right.
And I like the way he gets out of situations like being followed and under surveillance and all that stuff. And how the action is not more and more ludicrous like it gets in Die Hard 4.
Noel Vosen.
This is Jason Bourne.
I was wondering when you were going to make this call.
Perhaps we can arrange a meet. Where are you now?
I'm sitting in my office.
I doubt that.
Why would you doubt that?
If you were in your office right now, we'd be having this conversation face to face.
You see? It's always about, like, James Bond is always about the gadgets, right? He's got gadgets to help him out and all that shit. And then you got Spider-Man with the powers, but he got a lot of teenangs. This guy can only depend on his training, his wit, and his determination to get out of the situations he's in. He's in a very bad situation. It's almost like a Mission Impossible thing, but he has only that to fall on. His training, his determination, and his wit, which is fun, really, to see the whole thing unfold. And big, big marks for the car chase scene. That is the biggest, bestest car chase scene I've ever seen.
Better than Italian Job?
Oh, it's great. And there's a rooftop chase scene. He runs through the rooftops of Tangiers in Morocco.
Oh.
Yeah, it takes place in like all kinds of exotic locations, in Europe especially.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, there's also a very solid set piece involving Simon Ross, the journalist he's trying to contact. So these three set pieces really pull the whole movie together. And it has a European feel to it. It's not American-like. The colors are very muted, where the colors are kind of not so bright in primary colors that you find in
so American. European color red, same as Ang Mo color red.
No, not the same. Okay. You see the feeling. You should go and just watch it.
All right, yourself. All right.
And
when it comes out on DVD,
yeah, watch it. Watch the first two if you want to. If you can, then watch it. It's also quite good. It's a very satisfying movie and easily the best sequel I've seen so far this year.
Cool.
Yeah. So you are going to talk about what's the thing? Cowboy Show.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. What do you remember Charles Bronson and Henry Fonda for?
Actually, Charles Bronson, I remember him for the fella about the Death Wish. And
Death
then,
Wish 1 through 14,000.
Yeah, then Henry Fonda is the Golden Pond.
Really? Yeah. I always remember him as Jane's father. That's about it.
On Golden Pond only, that one. Okay. Yeah, all the angst, yeah.
Well, anyway, we're talking about Once Upon a Time in the West. I watched the DVD over the weekend, and this movie is old. Uh-huh. It was released in 1968.
Wow. Yeah. That's like old, man. And then?
It's an epic spaghetti western directed by none other than the infamous Sergio Leone.
Oh, the man who is famous for his spaghetti westerns.
Yes!
I remember now.
Like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, all that.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, it was him, right? Yeah, it was him.
Yeah.
Okay, for those of you who don't know that in the mid-60s, the biggest cowboy films came out of Italy.
Yeah, that's right.
The Italians made cowboy movies, and typically in Italian, and with low budgets. But with very cool shots and very cranky heroes. But that's beside the point. Once Upon a Time in the West stars Charles Bronson as a harmonica-playing, gun-toting, badass hero opposite Henry Fonda, who up to this point has always been the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the villain in this one.
Right.
Okay. It's also got Claudia Cardinale.
Who's that?
Okay. She's a one-time Miss Tunisia, the hottie of the film. She plays the newly widowed farmer's wife.
Okay.
But she has a dark past.
Oh.
Anyway, the story is wrapped around three main characters. Mrs. McBain, which is Claudia, fresh to cowboy town after traveling across the country to join her husband, who's a farmer. But when she gets to town, she finds out that her husband has been her husband and her husband's kids have been gunned down in cold blood.
Ayu.
She gets fed up and puts a bounty on the killers.
Oh,
right?
Right.
Then there's Harmonica, who joins forces with the bad guys.
Her name is Harmonica.
Yeah, they call him Harmonica, Charles Bronson.
Oh, him, okay.
Yeah, his name is Harmonica because he plays a harmonica.
Oh, okay, no guitar.
No, not the guitar.
Okay, that's a really bad name to be growing up with, but never mind the case, okay?
Harmonica Lim.
His short form is Ham, or the other one is Monica. So either one's bad.
Ha, Monica!
Ha!
Anyway, he joins forces with the bad guys to protect Mrs. McBain.
Why?
Because it's a very, very...
Convoluted plot. Oh, he's a Neijian, okay.
Okay, wait.
Okay.
Tell you about the last character that is key to this.
Okay.
Frank. The bad guy.
Okay.
He's the one who actually killed Mrs. McBain's husband and kids.
Mm.
But he's under the employ of the railroad bosses. You know, the Midwest that time, they were trying to build a railroad across the country.
Yeah. Tycoons, tycoons made rich by
exactly.
the railroad.
They just wanted to make sure that the railroad goes through the country without a glitch.
Right.
And they would do nothing. They would do anything to prevent that from happening.
Yeah. La.
So, are you confused about the plot yet?
Yeah.
Well, so was I. This is one of those movies that you really, really got to pay attention to. There are a lot of subplots and very intertwining stories that give us a lot of backstory and supply this movie with one of the better plot devices because of all the interlocking stories and make it very, actually, very believable. And also there are some damn killer lines in the movie, like the bad guy saying,
"How can you trust a man that wears both a belt and suspenders? Man can't even trust his own pants."
I love it when a bad guy says something like that.
I used to wear pants with suspenders.
With a belt?
Yeah. That was when I was younger. I didn't
know any
better.
Security, right?
I didn't know any better. I didn't know you were not supposed to do that. Yeah. Then later, I realized when I go function.
Yeah, and you know, back in the 60s, special effects were basically, you know, when a guy gets shot and falls off the roof?
Right.
It really is a guy falling off the roof onto a brown color mattress and then you throw dust. But edited very nicely.
Okay.
So no CG, all that kind of.
Yeah.
High tech thing we have now. But this doesn't take away from the brutality of the fight scenes. Mm. One of the earlier scenes in the movie, right, has Harmonica facing off with three of the bad guys, three of Frank's men. So they're like waiting at the train station and they, "I stare at you, you stare at me." Oh,
the staring.
Typical cowboy
must stare.
Must stare.
Must stare.
Tell, 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 tell. Then guns go off, but all four of them go down.
Right.
But only one man gets up.
Oh, who stares wins. Okay.
I'm just going to ignore that.
Okay.
Actually, I don't think I could describe a lot of those scenes without really spoiling the movie for you guys.
So must watch.
Yeah, it's classic. It's the first of a trilogy.
Oh, is it?
Yes. After this one, Sergio Leone made A Fistful of Dynamite.
Oh, I know that one.
And Once Upon a Time in America.
Oh.
And the movies are like 20 years apart.
And they all link to each other?
Sort of.
Is it black and white or color?
The version I watched was colorized by then.
Oh,
I think
but
so.
I think original is black and white.
Don't know. I think the DVD was color.
Oh, okay.
Back then, no DVD. Speaking of the DVD,
yeah.
The DVD comes with a second disc full of documentaries about the Old West, about killing and about, you know, the gunfights and how they choreographed everything.
Cool.
So it was damn worth it.
Wow.
I actually enjoyed watching this
documentaries,
2 hour plus long movie and then watch all the documentaries and the commentary.
Wow, the movie 2 hours and a half.
Yeah.
So long.
It's a long movie.
Last time, very rare to see long movie on it.
Yeah, actually last time all the cowboy films were longer, like 3 hours plus.
Wow.
But Sergio Leone made it for feature film release, which is 2.5 hours.
So Once Upon a Time in the West. Can get in stores.
Can. I buy from Gramophone.
Cool.
Mm.
And okay, from cowboys to this motel. From the movie Vacancy. Speaking of torture porn, Vacancy. Vacancy is starring Luke Wilson
and Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, Kate Beckinsale.
Hey, but she looks old in this one, leh.
Yeah, unfortunately, she ain't no spring chicken in this movie.
But she looks so good in Underworld.
Oh man, they should just rename it Underwear.
I almost said that.
Underwear and Underwear Evolution. The two of them are very simple. Okay, I tell you, this is like the simplest movie in the world to shoot because it's just the two of them, and their characters are David and Amy, not so happy husband and wife, who are lost on the way home from meeting family. And David kind of leaves the interstate for a shortcut and ends up in this back road at night. and with a flaky car. Not acting, you know, the car is acting up. Okay.
This is all so
not good. And they were forced to stay in this seedy, dingy, dodgy motel, run by this very creepy looking, big spectacles wearing front desk manager.
Who's the actor?
I can't remember his name, but he acted as a sidekick to what's his name? He is Frank Whaley. how to tell you? He was Matthew Broderick's sidekick in The Freshman. He has this really creep out look. You see, can't tell you, also no use.
Okay, never mind.
The Freshman. Anyways, they go into the room and it's a really dodgy room. You know, it's dirty. The taps got no clean water coming out. It's like rusty water coming out. Ew, very ew. It's really, really the worst motel.
Even
you can stay.
Even the backpacker won't stay kind of motel.
Correct. And it's a honeymoon suite, right? And then they find a VCR and some old tapes. You know that old tapes?
Porn!
Sticker got torn out, right?
Yeah.
So like really, really old and dodgy tape. Right? So the husband thought it's porn, right? So he put inside the tape recorder. And then it's gruesome images of people screaming and getting killed.
This looks like a real library of classics.
You turn that off. David? Is that this room?
It sure looks like it.
Oh shit.
Hey, this sounds very cookie cutter horror slasher.
It's a lot of fun. And surprise, surprise, they find out their room has hidden video cameras all over it. And this is where the hotel manager films snuff films.
Oh my goodness.
And they are the next stars. Oh no.
You know, if you're Chinese, right, at this point of time would be to open the door, jump in car, or run. But Ang Mo, funny.
No, it's no choice.
Want to get their money's worth.
Must
sleep.
No, they did not. Their car cannot work.
Run,
Cannot run. You see, this okay. Snuff films, for the sake of those people who don't know what they are movies that show an actual murder of a human being. Okay, so apparently there are people who have this fetish, like watch snuff movies. So David and Amy have to escape from this hellhole of a motel before they are killed by the movie makers. And it doesn't help that they are in the middle of nowhere. The car broke down and their captors have cameras that cover the whole hotel area, including the rooms. you run out, also no use, because they know where you're running. And even when you make phone call and try to call.
911 on emergency.
We need some help. Some people are trying to kill us.
Where are you located, sir?
Me and my wife were at this motel, the Pinewood Motel. It's near the mountains. They've got us trapped.
You're going to need to settle down, sir. You'll never survive if you lose control, Mr. Fox. And you shouldn't be wandering around in the dark by yourself.
This motel in the middle of nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, where did he buy camera?
He buy from mail order.
eBay.
eBay. Fries.com. And there's actually, surprisingly, very little gore in this horror movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's strange. They're trying to use suspense and threat of being caught.
And all those fast cuts and...
No, it's not only that. It's like the whole threat of getting caught is your main source of scares.
Oh.
Right? Like, in fact, the name Vacancy, it really does give away how the director plans to make you scared. It's the stuff that you don't see, the stuff that you have to guess between scenes to make you scared. Really, that is quite scary.
It's the anticipation of the inevitable.
And you fill in the blanks yourself, and that's like, ooh.
Okay.
And Vacancy comes at this time when there's this trend towards what I was just saying earlier on torture porn, where you know you got a sadistic torture, gruesome murder,
slasher gore,
whatever lah. Our main features of this kind of horror flick lah, you know,
not to be confused with Al Gore.
No, Al Gore. That one is Inconvenient Truth. You got Hostel 2, Captivity, Saw 3. These are the kind of movies that fall into this category.
Then the Tourista is also pretty much the same.
That one. But Vacancy is the non-gore version of the slasher flick. You know what I mean? But it's generally okay lah. It's not the worst kind of movie in this genre, and it's not the best either. It's very, very predictable. The plot is non-existent.
Was it directed by her husband?
No, it wasn't actually.
Oh, okay.
And it has moments, but in the end, it got very predictable. If you need a horror fix, you don't like gore from the current batch of this slasher stuff, and you got time to kill, go and watch it.
Yeah, it's so this one more of a suspense thriller.
Yeah. Okay. It was a good way of passing the evening. I mean, wife and I were bored, so, you know, nothing to do. Yeah, okay. My wife got scared a few times. It has moments. Can watch. Above average.
Okay.
But don't expect too much. So, movie this week, Bourne Ultimatum, Must watch.
Once Upon a Time in the West.
And Vacancy. Enjoy. This is Mr. Brown signing off from See What Show.
And this is Steve saying bye-bye.
See you all.
A production of See What Show.com.